Today on the Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about haunted Tulsa, where history refuses to stay buried, with Carla Cantrell. The one I want to talk about is Kane's Ballroom. It's legendary.
Oh,
probably most people have. I like to think most people have heard of Kane's Ballroom. I have never been, so you and I have to go sometime to a show there.
I cannot believe that you live so close to Tulsa and you haven't been.
Well, and there was Alison Krauss and Robert Plant were there this past summer. I was so excited. I'm going. And it was sold out by the time I even heard about the show.
Man.
It's like kind of an old, like a dance hall.
1924, it was actually built as a parking garage for the wealthy because the oil boom and everything was going on. And then it became a concert venue. And yeah, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys put it on the map. It was the house that Bob built. Beautiful.
Everybody has played in that theater.
Oh, yeah. And if you mention it to an artist now, they're like, oh, my gosh, yes, I'll play at Kane's. I'll play at Kane's all day long. They have a wooden floor. And then they have a new stage, which is actually built on top of the original stage. And there's a crawl space between them that you can go and, like, you can sit, like, cross-legged in this space. And a lot of artists do it.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. Isn't that cool? And, yeah, it's the house that Bob built. And Bob Wills loved that venue. And played there all the time. And he died of pneumonia in 1975. And just a few months later, other artists that started playing there started getting pranked. So everybody blames it on the ghost of Bob Wills, which I think is great. I mean, he's a prankster. He doesn't ever hurt anybody, but he's always pranking people that are performing there. There's actually a green room backstage. And again, it's like dark and it's like smaller. And there's this long corridor, and so many things happen to different artists there that they actually built another green room that's not connected to the building. It's behind it now.
Really? Because they're having so many unexplained things happen?
There's a whole other green one, the green room that's like built behind it now. And they, you know, they put like a ping pong table and stuff out there to keep the artist entertained. But yeah, there's so many stories of artists being pranked. One of the stories that I know is that there's an intern and she had just started and her boss told her to like go get coffee for everybody. It was like, it wasn't the end of the night, but it was, you know, probably 10. There was an artist on stage. And so she went to go get coffee. And as she's coming back, somebody grabbed her arm and spun her around and she almost dropped everything and there was nobody there.
Oh.
So she goes into her boss's office PO'd because she's like, somebody is goofing with me. You know, I know I'm just a stupid intern, but you almost made me drop all this coffee. And she was not a happy camper. And he was like, that was Bob. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. And right then, you know, like the creepy, all the temperature drops, the lights flicker, but they heard a thud. They heard like a short scream and a thud from the stage. And the artist said that somebody had pushed them off the front of the stage. And she heard someone chuckle over her right shoulder. And she believed in Bob from that minute on. She's like, okay.
Now, do you think it's Bob? Or do you think there could be something else there? Because like maybe sometimes, you know, it's playful, but like spilling coffee, that's not good. Getting knocked off the stage, that ain't good. That sounds kind of mean.
That's a little bit mean.
A little
but
mean.
At the same time, it's my stage. I can see Bob Wills doing that. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be blaming Bob. Nobody's actually seen the ghost of Bob Wills, but there's a lot of pranks in that building. And because it's the house that Bob built, I think everybody just assumes that it's Bob.
Yeah, I do like the idea of Bob Wills being there. Just like the Enrico Caruso.
Yeah,
I like the idea of him being there. But I like to think Bob Wills would be nicer and be, or, you know, to be honest, because they were good. He was a really good musician. And
maybe it's a really bad musician that died there.
Or maybe it's who's on stage. He doesn't like what they're playing. Like, you could be doing better, and, you know, it's like, get off my stage, you know, sort of thing.
And what's sad is, I know that the intern's name is Clara, but I don't know who the artist was. that you got pushed off stage.
You just have to wonder. It's like you need to find out now. It's like, oh, that makes sense.
Now, yeah.
They are pretty shitty.
I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. And the other, yeah, the other big story in Tulsa, like the scariest one that they've actually done, like haunted houses around and movies and stuff like that, is the Hex House.
I have never heard this story, and I came across it when I was just knew I was going to talk to you, so I was doing a little diving on Tulsa. This is a really interesting story.
Right? Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1944, so World War II was happening, and there was a widow that was renting out rooms in her house. She had two girls that were, well, they were in their 30s. She was in her 50s. But Virginia and Willetta, and they were like her people that lived with her, right? Like sublet. So you'd be thinking that they would like have their own room or something, right? But instead, they would go out to work. They would come home and they would hand their paychecks off to Mrs. Smith, who was this 50-something-year-old widow. And then they would dress in rags and sleep in the basement. So she had like a brand new car. She had like silver tea sets and all these clothes and was living large. And they were just handing over their paychecks. And when the cops finally got involved, they only got involved because she put in for a ration card and for a child. She said she had a child, and that was not true. So the cops went to her house, and there's all these books on witchcraft and hypnotism. And they found these two women living in her basement with nothing.
Which is so crazy. Like, she's basically...
Yeah.
They're basically like her slaves.
Yeah. And so they asked the girls, and they were like, we don't know. Like once they got out of the house and, like, away from her, they were like, you know, she abused us. It was, like, religious purification. Like, they didn't really know. But there were all these books on witchcraft and hypnotism all over the house. And Tulsa was so afraid of this house that they razed it to the ground. They just demolished it.
And the women didn't die in the house. They were abused, obviously.
No. They didn't. Right. They were like abused in the house. But they say now that even after they razed the house, the basement still exists. Like, they filled it with some stuff, but they didn't like demolish the basement. So when they poured asphalt over it, they could people still hear things underground, and they still see, like, people will see headlights of a Packard car, and then there's no car there because that's what Mrs. Smith drove. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and you also wonder, were those the only two women she did that with? Had she done it before and gotten away with it? Because you have to wonder, because she could have killed somebody and got rid of him, and that would have been what these poor women, what was going to be their destiny eventually? She's never going to let him go.
She was also the sole beneficiary for her dead father, her dead husband, and her dead maid.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So she could have been a serial killer, too.
She could have been a serial killer.
So that's why they call it the Hex House.
Because she had all these witchcraft. Yeah. That's why.
And so now, I don't know if they do it every year, but don't they have like a haunted attraction?
Yeah.
During the Halloween season in that area?
They do. I mean, they just named it Hex House, but it's not on the Hex House property.
Okay.
It's not there.
Good, because that would be bad.
Right? The Hex House to this day is just a little parking area. So if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know the history.
Now, have you gone there before?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's totally creepy. It's just, it's just this paved area. You can still see where the steps to the house go up. Yeah. Like, Tulsa is, like, nothing's ever been built on it again. There's no placard.
But I also get why they would have done that. Because that would have been so horrific. And people, especially at any time, but in the 1940s, like this woman has got these other women, you know, and probably the conditions they were living in were horrific. You know, it's bad when they just tear the whole damn house down.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You know, it's scary when the whole town is just like, can we just get rid of it?
Because it is not good.
Can we just get rid of it, please?
Exactly. There's one other place, and I'm just going to spring this one on you. I don't know if you know a thing about it or not, but it was one of the weirdest looking places I've ever seen, the cave house.
Oh my God, I've been to the cave house. I've done the cave house tour. Great.
I just kind of happened upon that place. And if you could kind of describe what it looks like, because I can't describe it.
Okay. It kind looks of like a cave. Kind of like a cave. It looks like, here's what it's supposed to look like. According to legend, it was actually built by the KKK. So it's supposed to look like KKK hoods.
Oh, that it does, actually. Now that you say that, I can kind of see that.
Yeah. So part of it looks like a cave, but really, legend has it, it was actually built by the KKK. And those are supposed to be like hanging KKK hoods. So it kind of looks like a marshmallow with like points. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like the hanging KKK hoods. Mm-hmm. So that's what a legend has it. It was actually built as that. And then it was during Prohibition. So at one point it was like you could go way back in the cave, like, the house itself kind of sits in front of this cliff, and they had a tunnel that went back into this cave that opened up, and it was where all the kegs of beer and alcohol were. So they would have these, it was like a way to get alcohol.
And if they had that going on, I'm going to guess there was organized crime in the area.
Yeah.
Because that's the alcohol would have come in.
Exactly. So between the KKK and the crime bosses, I mean, yeah, the cave house has lots of history. It's crazy. But now they've collapsed the tunnel, so you can't go back into the caves.
Which is probably good.
It's probably a good thing.
Because you don't know how well that was constructed. They were just trying to sneak in liquor.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they said, is like it was such a safety hazard that they had to collapse the tunnel. But the cave house still exists, and there's a adorable little lady that does like a cave house tour. She bought the property and then does a cave house tour and has all these pictures of like the old, like the Prohibition stuff and the KKK members like trying to like say, no, this isn't our house at all. And like they would have meetings there, and the police would come and get all the license plate numbers that were in front of that house. Oh. That they would know who was part of the KKK. And yeah, so she has this whole tour and she's adorable. And yeah, no, the cave house is creepy too.
Do you think it's haunted? All about that. Do you think that one's haunted?
You know, I do, but I would think that all those ghosts are back in the cave. Oh, I don't think they're in the house proper.
That would make some sense.
Because they didn't collapse. I don't think they collapsed the cave, you know, like the whole cave thing where the alcohol was stored. They just collapsed the tunnel. Yeah, I can't remember which came first, the chicken or the egg. I think the KKK guys built it, and then the mobsters took it over.
That would make some sense.
Yeah, but I wish I could remember more. It's been a couple of years since I've done that tour, but it was really interesting. It was really interesting. And you can go through the little house, like the little house is very little, but yeah, it's definitely historic. And just to see the outside of it is really cool because it's been around forever. And another thing that I think that we need to research too, remember not too long ago, I want to say it was 2006, but I'm not positive. The 19-year-old girl, she was pregnant and she was just recently married, and she pushed her husband out the window of the round building downtown.
Oh, I'm not familiar with this story.
So she was only 19. She was pregnant and she was married to this boy that was only like 20 or 23, and he was in the service, and they moved into a building downtown. It's a historic building. It's round. So all the rooms inside are like pies. They're all built like pies.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's like a rental. Like you can rent those apartments. And she waited until he was trying to like plug in the TV, and she pushed him out the window, and he died, and then she died a few years later in prison. That's sad.
Yes.
But it's got to be haunted.
Don't you think?
It's got to be haunted. That's a lot of trauma.
That's a thing about Tulsa. You know, there is a lot of trauma in the city. You know, things like that, like I think that leaves an imprint. You know, I always say that if someone was murdered, how does that not leave an imprint on where it happened? You know, I think you can help them move on, but I just think there's just a dark energy that's associated with it.
Right. Well, I mean, and you can help them move on and it, you know, that's just it. It's like, I don't want to think that any place that's had anything bad, like still has somebody that would, or still has a spirit there that would, you know, hurt you or in any way. But I think that they're there to give you a message too. Mm-hmm. Just like the Tulsa Theater. I don't think that there's anything, I would hate to think that there's something actually sinister there. But at the same time, I think that those spirits are trying to tell us that this happened. Because like you said, it was so covered up for so long that they want to make sure that you see what happened to them. Do you know that I was here?
Yes.
Do you know that I was here?
And it makes you wonder now that they are acknowledging it and built a museum, which I really would like to go to.
Yeah, you really should.
And they're acknowledging this. Does that help them be at peace a little bit? Just the acknowledgement.
And I don't know if they would even know. Like, if you're trapped in a space, do you even know that that's happening? But yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, Tulsa has some really cool things too, like the Bob Dylan Center.
Yeah.
And the Woody Guthrie Center. And Bob Dylan was a huge ghost enthusiast and has a lot of things in that museum that are like, you know, that he believed, you know, held spirits. So it just all of that, like everything in downtown Tulsa is really cool to me. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people that have never been to Oklahoma, you know, think it's all tumbleweeds and scrub trees. And Tulsa really is a beautiful city. And this side, like what they call green country in Oklahoma, is lots of lakes and lots of trees and lots of hills. Like this northeast corner of Oklahoma is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
And was adopted, like the Cherokee Indians, when they got moved here, the Cherokee and the Creek, you know, formed this alliance and created Tulsa. And Cherokee Nation is still all over in this area. It's Cherokee Nation. Even though, you know, the Indians have a really dark, troubled past here too, there's a lot of light and so much history, good or bad. You know, so many cool things that happened in this area that I would love everybody to come here and just check it out. Because, I mean, it's beautiful country. But, yeah, I mean, there are definitely things here that want us to know that they were here, for sure.
I agree. You know, Oklahoma, especially being your neighbor in Kansas, I think we tend to give each other a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he's from Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, they're like, they're from Kansas.
For Arkansas. You're fine.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though? In this part of the country, we kind of tend to pick on each other. But I really, and I like Oklahoma City a lot as well. I think they're both really wonderful cities. I like Tulsa better. I just think there's, you know, a lot of really interesting places to go to from a show at Kane's Ballroom. You've got a wonderful arena there, the Gathering Place. There's just so many cool places.
I mean, it really is. When I started doing this ghost tour, I was like, okay, I know that we are one of the top 10 markets for concerts in the country, you know? And then I started doing the ghost tour, and one of the things I realized is if you're going across America, you're probably going through Tulsa. It connects two major, it connects I-44 and 244. Mm-hmm. So we give Broadway casts at our performing arts center, and we get so many artists because we have a ton of venues, but also because it's a really easy way to pick up a paycheck on the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. So many people are moving in and out of Tulsa all the time, and other entities feeling stuck here. That is another reason why it's haunted. And that's another reason why things are like, hello, I'm right here.
Yeah, I just would highly recommend it to anyone.
It makes so much sense that things are haunted here. That the spirits are like, you know, hey, guys, stop moving.
Well, and it's like, go to town for a show and catch a ghost tour while you're there.
Oh, heck yeah, do it.
So do you do your tours through U.S. Ghost Tours?
Adventures. U.S. Ghost Adventures, you can find it. There are a lot of different ghost tours in the area because, like I said, you know, it's a place with a ton of history. But yeah, U.S. Ghost Adventures is who I do mine with.
Well, this has been so fun, and it's been just fun catching up with you tonight because I always enjoy talking to you, and this was a lot of fun to get to talk about something other than music, although we did do some of that. Of course we did. But to talk about ghosts tonight. Yeah. But to talk about ghosts tonight was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, you are so welcome. And yeah, you have to come to town and we'll go check out Ghost together.
Don't have to twist my arm. I will do that. And a show. And that wraps up our conversation about haunted Tulsa, where history refuses to stay buried, with Carla Cantrell. For more information on ghost tours, click the link in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.